Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. We are grateful that you can join us tonight. And we have a pretty good show. We appreciate all of our listening audience that have come in with us and have participated and shared their ideas and things of that nature. We're grateful for that. And we encourage you to join us again tonight on Talk Straight this May 15, 2018. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And we expect Pastor Waller, our regular panelist, will come, our co-host. And those of you that have been joining us, if you're joining us via Facebook now, we welcome you to give us a shout and communicate through our conversation thread on Facebook Live, or you can give us a call right here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Talk Straight is a national dialogue sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, where we endeavor to spread meaningful, transformative conversation across urban America. Certainly, if you're in the rural area and you're listening, we hope that if you can benefit from it, you will. Again, our specific focus is to transform the lives of many throughout urban America. Hence our conversation tonight. Over the last year or so, if you've been following us, you know that Talk Straight has held many discussions about the plight and makeup of urban America. Some wonder why we focus so much on it. Again, we've identified a specific problem there. As a social scientist, through observation and participation, we recognize that there is at least anecdotally a need to address certain needs. To a large extent, our topics focused on poor and at-risk populations of individuals that's been around for decades. However, over the last 30, 40 years or greater, the face of urban America has changed drastically. Certain neighborhoods have been taken on new residents, and the properties are being both vacated and renovated all at the same time. So tonight, we want you to join us as we talk from the topic, how is urban America shifting and to whose benefit? Again, that topic is how is urban America shifting and to whose benefit? So again, I'd like to encourage you and welcome you to share your question or comment through our conversation thread. If you're a first-time listener, give you a backdrop. We will provide a monologue for about 10, 15 minutes here, and that gives us context. So I hope you listen in. It gives us context for the direction of our conversation tonight. And then we will open up our phone lines at 657-383-0944. And you are welcome to question or comment. You may not agree with what I say, and that's perfectly fine. It's good for dialogue, for sure. And we just ask that you, you know, make your comments relevant to our topic as best possible. Sometimes we digress a little bit. And that we respect all of our callers. Sometimes we don't always agree. And again, I emphasize that I don't expect you to agree with me per se, but hopefully we'll walk away with some understanding through our dialogue, okay, course of dialogue. All right, having said that, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get into our monologue. And again, you feel free to give us a call here. You're listening from Facebook, you may have seen our conversation thread, our questions. We're going to be addressing those tonight, so feel free if you want to just share your response, and we will share that live on air tonight with our listening audience. All righty. Again, having said all of that, we're going to get right on into it, and hopefully you'll give us a call, and you'll share with us your thoughts and your comments here on Talk Street. All right. Again, the topic is, how is urban America shifting, and to whose benefit? Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse reads, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's a biblical thought that's relative to our conversation tonight. I want to talk first about the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, then the concept of urban renewal. It may sound familiar to some of you all. And then I want to focus for a second on the winners from urban renewal. And lastly, the losers of urban renewal. And then I want us to have some conversation, okay? So give me about 10 minutes here. Fifth Amendment reads accordingly. No person, this is of the United States Constitution, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless or a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation, excuse me. I'm going to read that one more time. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Now, urban renewal. Let's give a little backdrop here of urban renewal, because this is what we're really talking about. We're going to parlay this with the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and who is benefiting, who is not, with the changing face of urban America. The phrase urban renewal, quote unquote, was popularized with the passage of the Housing Act of 1954, which made building projects more enticing to developers by providing federal housing agency backing mortgages. In other words, you don't have to put your money up. We'll make sure you get it. Urban renewal is a process whereby privately owned properties within a designated renewal area, in other words, some place that somebody said is blighted, is poverty-stricken, is torn up, and needs some renovation. Okay, the federal government that makes this determination. Well, they're purchased or taken on by eminent domain, the government, your government. Often in municipal development authority, usually your housing authority in your local area, in your city, raised and reconveyed to selected developers who devote them to use this. Now, in 1970, the displaced owners of tenants received only a constitutionally mandated just compensation specified in the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the bare minimum they gave. Now, this measure of compensation covered only the fair market value of a taken property and omitted compensation for a variety of incidental losses, such as your moving expenses, favorable financing, or notable business losses, losses of business or goodwill. More importantly, your personal attachment to that property. If the government saw fit that they wanted to have your property, they can use eminent domain to take it. Where's your representation? Okay, however, the act denies the displacement or displaced landowners the right to sue. You can't sue the government to enforce its provisions. So it is deemed an act of legislative grace rather than a constitutional right. Historically, urban redevelopment has been a controversial practice because those who oppose it argue that taking private property by eminent domain for public use and then turn right around and turn it over to developers free of charge or for less than the acquisition cost, which is known as land write-down. Now, that don't sound right, does it? You took mine and you gave it to some money-making individual. We're not opposed to development. We're not opposed to people in business that building and things of that nature, construction. But something about that don't seem right. You take loophole me. Take mine away so that you can use it for somebody else's benefit. Something about that don't seem fair. So who is it that should be having a conversation with you? All right, we'll get to that. In some cases, renewal may result in urban sprawl or less congestion when areas of cities receive freeways and expressways. So the excuse is this is going to improve our traffic or our transportation and so forth and so on, okay? Oftentimes. Where I am in Nashville, Tennessee, in the 60s, I understand that this was done in Nashville, in the heart of a bustling African-American community, brought freeways, expressways, and it just cut everything off and many things died, in combination to the riots and things of that nature that destroyed properties that never were redeveloped. Now, this is the case in other urban cities as well, all right? Some people say that this is a good thing because we can improve our city. We can bring money. We can bring tourists. We can bring people that will invest their businesses here, and that's good for the growth of the city. Okay, that's one side of it. But then there's the other side of those individuals who are left out. Now, there's an argument that might be made that there's a reason they left out, and it's not necessarily the government or the development's fault per se. We'll get to that in just a second. All right? But most people believe that in order for your city to be progressive, to grow, and to keep up with the rest of the economy and the world within your state and within the nation and so forth and so on, that these things are necessary. So that's the nature of these laws and these opportunities. Many cities link the revitalization of their central business districts, downtown areas, and what we call gentrification of residential areas. Again, what happens in effect is when you redevelop, you bring the tax value up, right? And there's a phrase that said, a rising tide lifts all vessels or boats. Unless you got a broken vessel, you got a hole in the bottom of your boat. There are too many people across urban America who for decades, for years, for generations, their boats had holes. They were faulty. Maybe they didn't know about it. Maybe they didn't know how to fix it. Maybe they didn't care. Let's be honest about it. But at the end of the day, who is it that should be looking out to make sure that you inform and that you empower as a citizen, as a resident of your city, your state, other than your elected officials? Can you see the relationship to these things? Okay, we're going to open up the phone line in just a minute. I hope that you all call and talk to us about it. When you see neighborhoods where people have lived, and sadly enough, we've been identifying in urban America, there are many socioeconomic factors, but then there are behavior issues as well. Some things, just because you're poor, you don't have to do. You don't have to be destructive. You don't have to be murderous. You don't have to be just outright non-caring because you don't have a whole lot. But most important, the question is why. Why is it that the family often are challenged, decimated economically? That community, those neighborhoods are struggling. Academically, why is it that children receive such poor and inadequate education, health disparities? Why do those things exist, you know? Part of it is the people, and the other part are those who are supposed to represent you to make sure that you not only receive but are aware of opportunities from the government that represents you. That's why you have a legislator or you have a council person or you have a governor so that they can do so, right? If you don't hold them to account, they get to get elected and stay in office for whatever length of time, and your needs don't go met, right? But they get what they want. I would encourage anyone to rethink that proposition. Now, just for a second, let me talk about the winners and the losers, all right? There are some things that are going on in urban America, this shift, a paradigm. Some people are benefiting and some people are not. Well, who are the winners? The winners are those people who were clever enough to position themselves as a business owner, as a developer, to come and take advantage of federal incentives and opportunities. That's the nature of their business. They took a chance as to start a business and to be in that venue, okay? Can you be upset with them for it? That they hear the bell from your local government, the city government, who's also a winner, and they have the opportunity, those elected have the opportunities to kind of be like the ancient Egyptians. The pharaohs were known by how well they built Egypt up and how many pyramids they had and how fancy things were. Well, a lot of mayors and elected officials want, and even governors want to, presidents, I would say, want to be known for what they did in office. And other elected officials want to be known for their contribution to it, right? So those are the winners. The politicians always win. Now, I'm going to tell you, you all know already that I'm a political candidate myself, but I definitely don't consider myself a professional politician. I'm an advocate for people. But the truth of the matter, what we have seen is historically, politicians get away oftentimes we're doing little of nothing for you, but yet they still get elected in office. They win. Who loses? You make the call. But again, these businesses, people were educated enough and who paid attention, who were astute enough to follow the trends and to prepare themselves so that when the tide came in, their boats were well suited to rise with everybody. Those are the winners. Now, let's talk about who loses. When these changes come to urban America and these developers are able to come in and build new places and invest in it and business have incentives to come and so forth and so on, who is it that loses? Well, conversely, those who for generations have been stagnated in the same place, often living in the same neighborhoods for 20 or 30 years, the whole family, right? Nothing is wrong with that. But the question is, what happened that you didn't take advantage of your public education? The same resources that developers from afar have, you could have had yourself to redevelop your federal dollars that were there. What happened that you didn't? Did you not know they were available? Did you not care? Or did somebody just not, I mean, who is it should have made you aware? Your elected officials, first of all, okay? Now, the other question is, who else loses? Those who are less educated to the political process of your area, your local government, unaware of resources and opportunities, as well as those who find themselves quite often politically detached. In other words, you're not aware of the political environment that you live in. So decisions are being made about you without you. Those are the losers. What can we do about it? Well, tonight I hope you all will join me in talking about it. There is a particular song that used to be the theme song of the ghetto. But can I tell you something now? Things have changed so rapidly and so drastically now that what used to be the hood, folk that used to live there 30, 40 years ago, they can't afford to even walk down the street no more. In fact, police will roll up on you and ask you, what you doing around here? And you grew up there all of your life, all of your life. Listen just for a second. We're going to open up our phone lines. We got callers in queue now. The number is 657-383-0944. Get in here where you fit in. All right.
Walking down the street, smoggy eyes, looking at the sky.
This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. How is urban America shifting, and to whose benefit? The phone lines are open here. Welcome, Pastor Ricky Waller, to another episode of Talk Street. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. And my very good friend, 8112 Pastor, is with us again. That sweet lady out of Peoria, Illinois, I believe that is. How are you this evening? Okay.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. How is everyone doing?
All right. We're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good.
That's good.
And my good friend, 1098, is in the house. How you doing, sir?
All right.
1098, you there? Okay, perhaps he can't hear us right now, but we'll keep going. You guys heard the money law. What about this shifting trend across America? Have you benefited from it? Can you see any benefit from people you know? Let's go with 8112.
Well, I can't come in because I just tapped in. I'm really not familiar what you guys are speaking upon.
Okay. All right. I just finished my monologue. That was it. Pastor Waller, were you able to hear the monologue, sir?
I heard somewhat, and then some of it I was elated by some of the things that I heard you saying a lot of part of it, though, you know, about what is not happening. And, you know, once a person selects an individual to look up to them to do certain things, to say after that, they're forgotten about it. It's more of a story, it sounds like.
Pastor, let me ask you to speak directly in your phone so we can hear you clearer. Your voice is a little muffled.
Yeah, okay, now. What about now? Can you hear
much better? Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I was just saying it earlier about what I heard you say in the latter part of the monologue. You said something to the effect that certain people be elected to do certain things. And
correct.
Once they get in, they forget about you or something of that fact. I thought that was pretty interesting because
okay.
I know that a person don't want to be forgotten about once they expect a person to do some things that can be done, I would like to believe,
sure.
And that is to stand up and to be counted for. But from what I'm hearing you say, you know, your job is already cut out for you. Just in case they want some answers, they want some solutions, it sounds like to me that, you know, all they got to do is just acknowledge Pastor Dockery in a certain form of a location that you are presenting yourself and putting your effort in to do some good for the people. I would
sure.
say, man, that's interesting, brother. You know, you put a lot on the table when you said that you will be able to do some things that I'm sure that's not being done. In other words, standing up for the people, it just sounds like that's what they need more of, somebody who's going
right.
to stand up for what's right, stand up for the people. So that's the part that I caught. In the early stage,
okay.
I didn't hear
So stay right there. Stay right there, Pastor. The argument
mm-hmm.
that
right.
we need development and we need to be able to, the government needs to have the strong arm authority to take your property by what's called eminent domain, and to determine how much it's worth, give it to another developer so they can develop it and make it three or four times worth what it was when we took it from you. Is that what about that, Pastor?
Did you say take it from you? After they take it from you? So
well,
you said they're aping around here now.
Yes,
well, that's
sir.
What, yeah.
yeah, okay.
That's
what it sounds like to you.
It
sounds like
involved.
Nothing them. It doesn't sound like they was working nothing out. It just sounds like after they take it from you. Just in other words, if you don't want to give it up, they take it. That sounds like the word of God said that the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Right.
But the God that I
right.
serve said that the Lord said he came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That don't sound like the abundant life to me. If a person
well,
got something and they don't want to give it up, well, who are you to make me have to give it up when I don't want to give it up? I mean,
well, now, so let me explain. Let me explain. Oh, you
okay.
go ahead. Go ahead, 8112. You going to say something?
Yes, sir. I and the reason why I'm commenting now is because I had a personal experience of my own.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. It was off the government because they led me to believe if your income mm-hmm. changes, then you don't have to worry about losing what you've been preparing to buy all these years.
Wow.
I was buying a
okay.
home. Kids
okay.
grew up. My job hours quit. And then these same people that told me this is government funded. And when I got where I couldn't pay it, they left the rent where it was when it was supposed to change to accommodate me. So I couldn't lose it. But I did lose it. And I think maybe, I hope I'm on the right track when I say, I think that's what he's referring to when he said they take it. They took
yes,
it.
Yes.
They took it from me, and it hurt so bad. I am not going to lie, because I worked 11 years
wow.
to maintain this, hell and high
wow.
water. income tax in order to keep my kids in a stable environment. And it just didn't pan out, and I had to give it up, and I thought about it. And I'm going to tell you the joy of it. 5-6 years later, guess up who wind up with that same house I spent all them years raising them in, trying to pay for my daughter, my baby daughter.
Wow.
And well, her and my grandkids, I said, God brought it right back.
There you
okay.
go. There you go. You know, it's okay. interesting you say that, 8112, because I mentioned that there are generations of people that live in certain neighborhoods, and for some reason or another, particularly African Americans or the poor people, are not passing down the information about how to establish themselves or position themselves to take advantage of opportunities and resources coming from the government and things of that nature, right? It's almost as if they assume that people have to do what's right by them. Is that real to think that, that folks are going to always do what's right by you?
I didn't
assume
think
that?
That. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was
no, that's
not,
right.
What was on my mind is, how can I figure out a way to keep my home?
Okay.
I done did everything, repaired everything. I done paid all this. Only thing I didn't have to pay was the taxes.
Okay.
And it's devastating. And they can call me a poor person, but I was so rich in so many other ways that
sure.
after the storm came, it was only the beginning of the storm.
Okay, all right.
So a lot of things can in front
go
of
ahead, I'm sorry.
A lot of things can transpire because right after that, I lost my son a week later. It wasn't even a week, days.
Okay.
So
okay.
my point is, a lot of things, but when I go there now, I'm finally coming back down like this is home again because the kids got it.
Good.
Yeah,
good. But now you're very unique. You know that, don't you? In
no,
that,
I don't
when the
think
developer
I'm
comes
unique.
In, and often what happens, 8112, the developers
mm-hmm.
buy the property from you. If they don't outright take it through eminent domain, they offer you a little small amount of money. And some people feel pressured, you know, because they done had 20 houses around them redeveloped and what have you, and the price of those houses and the tax valuation have went up so much too, you feel, I can't afford to pay them taxes, so let me go ahead and cash out now, right? Well, by the time they get through developing it, and some would argue this is a good idea, the whole property is worth 3-4 times what you sold it to them for. And they had the government on their side.
Well, see,
you know?
I didn't lose that home because of the property taxes. Like I said, it was government.
Sure, I'm not talking about you. Speaking about you personally. I'm speaking
yes,
in general because there are many people in your same predicament, and they don't come out as fortunate as you did.
Yeah, I was blessed. I'm blessed.
Yeah, yeah. You were probably a very unique situation because right now, if you look around you and you're in an urban city, you see all of these new houses and sprawling developments and what have you, and you ask yourself, man, what happened and when did they decide to do all this? Well, typically 10, 20 years ago they were planning this through your planning commission and your government.
Okay.
But the people that don't know about it oftentimes are those who are going to be most adversely affected. Again, in your situation, individually, you came out on top. Most people don't. They sink. Because the rising tide, it's not their friend. It fills their
right.
boat with water, and they sink.
Oh.
If they can't swim, somebody's subject to drown.
That's right.
Pastor, what about that?
Yeah, you're so cool, man. So when you look at the situation as a whole, and when you say they gave us some money in a person's presence, if they don't respond to the finances that they are offered,
mm-hmm.
you say it distracts them because their development, they have, developers always have the houses going up around them. I think that's what you said. And does that cause them to be distracted, or does it cause them to feel bad because they cannot afford it any longer? They may as well just, okay, well, I'll just give you, well, I just take what you offer me and things like that. I mean, how often has that happened where
a lot.
They know.
A it's lot, happening right now, Pastor. As we
it's
speak,
happening
it's happening
right now.
Right
okay.
now.
Yeah, a lot. Right it now. Happens
that's
a lot.
Pastor. So is that not a form of a trap to say I'm gonna see how many I can trap into this what I'm offering, and
yes,
that means
wow.
that I don't want to give it up. I don't want to give
right.
it up. It's basically what you're saying, but I gave it up
yeah.
anyway. What does that sound like to you?
But, so
it
here,
like,
let me say it like this, Pastor. I follow the way you phrased that as a trap, but let me say it like this. Some would argue that mm-hmm. you know if you can't afford it, why don't you just leave? Now here's the thing. Suppose your neighbors that live to your right and left you and across the street from you, all of you all were aware of these impending plans to develop your neighborhood, right? And all of you all put your monies together to buy all of that property and to put yourselves in a position where it was difficult for the government to use eminent domain or a developer to shice either one of you all. Or you said
really?
To your...
Yeah.
Or you
okay,
said
well,
to your local council, your local government, and you had advocacy on the state level saying, we don't want this over here. Don't bring that over here. We're comfortable with what we have. We don't want you changing our lives with some socioeconomic engine or machine that you use just to make money. Wouldn't
so
that have made
again,
a difference?
It happened. Had they done that, that would have made a difference? I mean, sure. And basically, I think I'm hearing you saying, why didn't they do that? Or did they
that's
know
where,
to do
that's
that?
Where we're going. That's where we're going.
Is that what it is? Okay.
That's where we're going.
It didn't happen. And now that is the way it is now. So what can be done now that is already turn your head and here it is. When you turn back around, look what you got. What can you do about it now? Is that
I'm glad you asked that question.
Saying?
I hope
yeah.
that's a good question. What can you do about it? 8112 was going to say something right quick, but I'm gonna let Dr. Claude Anderson answer that question for you, Pastor. What you can do about
okay.
it? Go ahead, 8112, right quickly before we go to Dr. Anderson.
Yes, sir. I was going to say, realistically speaking, for those people that some of them say that, what do you do? You try
mm-hmm.
to survive, sir. You're trying to
okay.
survive. So if they
okay.
offer you something, something is better than nothing when you don't have a whole lot of means. And a lot
mm.
of us, when I say a lot of us, are not politically inclined. I mean a lot
that
of
is,
us. And wow. for myself as well. And that's a wow. powerful thing. Because you on
yes.
the outside looking in and somebody else living in a glass house.
How about that? Well, listen to Dr. Anderson. 8112 and Pastor Wallen, 1080
yes,
and listening audience, and listen to what he says, what can be done.
Okay.
Now, sometimes we get so we get so caught up that we can't appreciate the fact that we're in the forest for all the trees we're running into.
Mm-hmm.
But if you understand that any forest is made up of trees and you know how to maneuver the trees, you're in a much better position. Let's check what Dr. Anderson said out here.
You get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department.
Mm.
Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people, you can't inform your people, You can't do this. And you...
That made me feel bad he was talking about me, 8112. Why are you talking about me like that?
Hell, he made me feel like he's right. Made me feel like he's correct. But how many of us, and I keep when I say us, I'm talking about myself, know how to do all that?
You and me, 8112. You and me. You talking about you and me.
He's working with nickels and dimes, and he talking about dollars.
Watch out, man. Watch out, man.
And politics.
Did you hear what he said, Pastor?
I don't know it like that. It
rent
is about
a politician.
It's about
Pastor, you hear that? He said, buy if you can't buy them, rent a politician. What about that, man? Talk to me about it.
You rent them, you rent them, then you buy them.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor. What you say?
The intelligence that this brother is coming with, as my sister was saying, some people don't have the knowledge of that, and so they don't know how to exercise what can be done. And and at that point, it goes back to what I said about the trap man. Listen, if a person know that you don't know any better, and know that you don't have the means, then you will bow down to what they present to you because they already know that you don't have and never had anything for the most part. And when you have that mentality and you want to present it to someone, if you present it to someone and they say, oh, man, but that's a nice piece of money. I may even raise it up a little bit. It might give me a little bit more. They ain't not thinking about how much they give you. Just give it up. That's all they want you to do, and that's what's been done. And so how do you appreciate after you've done that and you hear about what is going to, I would say, how it's going to prosper them, and you say three or four times as much. I think that's what you were saying, Pastor Doctor.
Oftentimes.
So, you know.
Oftentimes more.
That happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a plan, man. That has to be a plan to exercise that and to do it in such a way. But, yeah, that's what it is. If people don't want to believe what a trap is, it's got many forms, and that's one of them. If I look at that, I see the trap. And before you know it, and that's what you just said. You know, they got you like that. So it's happening, man. And just what happened to her daughter, and now that them babies are able to steer.
So now, y'all, listen now. Y'all got me feeling bad now because I'm African-American. Y'all got me feeling like I can't win. Is that what I should include in?
Yeah. Huh? No, sir.
Talk to me now. Give me some hope today. Give me some hope now.
Yeah.
Okay,
you got me calling back every other week or every week, and you are winning because the things that you say and things Pastor Wallace say and the other guests that says something significant to me, I'm listening.
Okay.
Even when I get off this phone, I think about it every time I call. Maybe I said something wrong. Maybe they said something right to me. I'm thinking about it. So when you raise a question in someone's mind and you got their attention enough to the fact that they're no longer speaking to you over the phone, they're listening.
Okay.
They may can reach out and tell somebody else. You may gave me some qualified information, informative information that I could use to share with someone that's been in my position.
Right.
Remember, that's great. That's great.
Okay. That's interesting. You know, there are a couple other questions that I do want to ask tonight. And what's interesting to me is there are a lot of good people who just throw their hands up and say, forget it. Why should I participate in the electoral process? Because they gonna do, whoever they is, what they want to do anyway. And it don't matter to me, you know. Out of sight, out of mind, what is it, mind over matter? I don't mind, so you really don't matter. You understand what I'm saying? So let me pose this question to you, Pastor Waller, and you and the beautiful lady there, if y'all don't mind. Let's see if we can't intimate a reasonable response here, something that may be helpful to somebody. We kind of learned where the funding comes from, the federal government. And it's passed down through your state and to your local government. We know that, right? So if it's true, though, that people of urban America have been taken advantage of, okay, by the prosperity that we see or the growth over the last 30, 50 years, then who should we hold accountable for that? We got to go get somebody. Who should we go get?
You say you got to go get somebody?
If you got to go get somebody, if you got to hold somebody accountable, who should you hold accountable for that?
Well, you sure can't hold them accountable. I know that.
Wait a minute now. They set the trap, though. You said it was a trap, right?
That's right. That's the rest. That's exactly what I said. I admit that, too, man. And if you sit up there and you recognize that it's a trap, and you said something earlier about why did they do nothing when they could have done something, it sounded like to me they allowed that to take place. I mean, you said that they knew it was coming, and, you know, you were saying things like that. And if that is the case, you know, because I don't know. I wasn't familiar with it. And by you saying that, it sounds like there's a word that, you know, says ought to, or two words like that ought to have done. So since that didn't take place, you can't charge them who banged the money in your face. You know, you sure can't, you know, even though they set a trap, but that's what you're taking a chance. I'm going to take this money, and I'm going to do this and that and other with this money, or whatever you was thinking. But then they already had a plan of what they was going to do once they get it from you. And then you say,
right.
I shouldn't have sold it. I shouldn't have went for that. No, wait a minute. Hold up. That's the power of the trap. You know, it's like playing a game of playing cards. If somebody got what it take and you don't, then they got you in the trap. It's whatever the game that you're playing. If you don't know how to play it and they do, that's what that is.
Right. Pastor, let me be clear to my listening audience. You're listening to Talk Straight, and this is Reverend Doctor, your host. And I did say in my monologue, Pastor was saying that he wasn't familiar with it. Let me give you the basis of what I'm saying so you can go behind me and make sure that I'm not lying to you, okay? And you can reference the 1954 Housing Act, okay? And you'll find inside of that legislation, this is federal legislation, what was referred to as urban renewal. And that thing has been passed down since 1954. It's still going on in 2018. This is the legal basis. The government allocation of resources and funding that come from the feds, that go to your local state, whatever state you're in, and the state flows those down through your local government, your municipality. They get to choose what they're going to do with it. Now, usually what they first started was the housing project, those big, tall buildings or those short buildings, one way in and one way out, and folk are killing one another, and all kind of craziness going on there. I'm from there now, and I don't think I'm trying to disparage anybody. I'm from the projects of Chicago, and I'm a welfare baby, too. I used to be. I decided I didn't want to be that no more, okay? What I'm trying to tell you is this is where this came from, and what's happening now is what used to be a haven and a hub for poor folk for decades now are being changed and turned upside down, fixed up real good, and it's so expensive that those poor folk can't live there no more. Now, don't take my word, but go behind me and check it out. Go ahead, 8112.
Because he has a valid point. It is a trap. I agree. Because they promise you things, and if you spend the next 30 years, but they put a lot of stipulations on it, still about politics now. And I don't know a lot about politics, but I know enough to know. When you let us listen to the doctor, he stated,
yes,
as far as I heard, what he stated about, what if you can't do these things? See, there's a lot of people uneducated as well as myself about these things because we don't hear this every day. We just try to survive. And as Pastor Wallace was saying, when they put that money in front of you, it's not because you want to give up everything you work for, male or female. It's because you feel trapped. And to get away with something, you might have to take less than what you want.
Mm.
To keep pushing on. Survival is what I call it.
My.
That's right.
What about that, Pastor?
Yeah, because you said something is better than nothing. That's the mentality that they give the people. And as you said, you know, something is better than nothing. What I had is at first, yeah, I'm going to get this. Yes, I'll go ahead, and that's where the trap come in at, brother.
And I'm going to tell you another thing.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Pastor. Finish your thought. I apologize.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, it is something to learning, man. I mean, once we get a chance to acknowledge, sometimes you get it sooner than later. You know how they say you get it sooner than later? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a person looking around and they see all these tall buildings and wondering what happened. Well, think about what you just accepted. And that's, you know, I don't know how those people that you was talking about, how they feel right now, as if they didn't know it was coming. Why did they wake the people up? If they was asleep and they
right.
had the knowledge of it, then
right.
why not? I think that's what you're saying. And see,
yes,
so, you know, I guess they didn't want to wake them up. I don't know if they didn't know when they should wake them up or should they sleep a little longer. I don't know what was going on with it myself. But I do know what I see now that I look around. I said, man, look at him.
Yeah, what is this?
He set up a lot of things, man. And I'd be hearing a lot of people talking about they sold their property, they gave it up, and as my
right.
sister just said, something is better than nothing. Man, you don't go on with that, you better. You've been working all these
there
many
some
years.
Other, Pastor, there are some other tricks to the trap. And
okay.
and yes, you correct me now if I'm wrong, Pastor. It is the misnomer that God is going to fix it. Now, haven't you heard that for a long time, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, man, that is just small talk right there, man.
Wait a minute now. They say God knows, he understands, he's going to fix it, right? And
small talk,
for
man.
Years, folks
yeah.
have been saying that, and guess what? They've been facing steadily demise. But there's one other thing that I want 8112 to respond to for me. Not only have they been misguided by some misunderstanding about what God is going to do here, but there's been other forces. Listen to one of them. This is James Brown talking now, and he's talking about what a major distraction that we find commonly present in urban America. Listen to what he says.
Instead of bandbags, I found my way to heads of state, to children's play. I finance in China, ran in Japan. I'm respected in Turkey, and I'm legal in Zion. I take my addicts and make them steal, borrow, beg, then they search for a vein. In the arm of the lady. So be you Italian, Jewish, black or mix, I can make the most world of men forget their sex.
What about that, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, you know when James Brown gets to talking about some things, man. You know, he so, you know, it's just amazing, man, that you grabbed a hold to a man that know a lot about some of the things that is still going on today, man. But it's this generation that's not aware, and we got to get back into the learning. You know, and I like the word of God. You know, I like to utilize God can and is willing to do. That is to give you the instructions, and you have to carry them out. I'll give you a good example. Okay, me being once upon a time a heroin user, you know, I was addicted to it and everything. And, yes, I depended on God to help me help myself. He gave me the knowledge and the wisdom, and it was up to me to carry it out. So if those people that you're talking about had the knowledge and the wisdom, and, yes, God will work it out, but he's going to work it out through you. So if you don't do your part, then surely the goodness. You know, God done what he's already set out to do. He's already done his part. And that's the thing that when I hear people say that about God, or fix it and God will work it out. And as I said, that's small talk. If you don't apply, if you don't carry it out and do your part, you know, and I'll give you a good example, and I'm going to pass it back over to you. You know, just like you said, if you continue in my word, then that's when he claims, not just that small talk, and then you get up off of it because it sounds good what you said. If you continue in my word, then indeed are you my disciple, and that's without a doubt. So that means you include him. You know, in all your ways, you include him. So that's a beautiful thing. But how many of you really know that talk is cheap? You know, if you don't include him, you got to do your part. And if you're ignorant and unlearned like me, you don't know nothing. You just go for what they say.
Right.
But you were talking about people that knew him.
You were talking about people that knew him.
Some people think they know him, Pastor. They don't know him like they think they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They got it twisted. They even got God twisted. I said that. I'm a preacher now. 8112. They even got God twisted. Watch this. God admonishes and encourages us to be astute and learned. The text says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing every word of truth. Now, does that sound like you need to go learn something? Maybe
yes.
I got it wrong. Come on, help me, 8112.
Yes, I don't know anyone, even the smartest of the smartest of people, that know everything. We can always learn something. But what I do know is that from life experiences is that my father teaches me that even when you feel weak, I'm watching you to make you strong. I'm taking care of you. When I thought I couldn't walk, he picked me up and he carried me, and he still carried me because he know I still need his help. Now, I got a long way to go. But each and every day is a learning process for me, and everything we speak upon, as long as we're doing it genuinely, I think, yes, God will take care of it. Not when you want him to, because you are not the master.
Okay.
When he decides he's taking care of it, he makes no mistakes.
Wow. Well said. Let me do this. We're about at the top of the hour. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We got our co-host, Pastor Wallon, Ricky Wallon, with us, the author of a very powerful book, Still High. You can find it on our website here, www.bfcinstitute.com, and go to the back store there and check it out. You know, very powerful book. But let me do this right quickly. I'm going to go to a brief break, and when we come back, I do have another question I want to ask you, Pastor Wallace. Can you hear us in 1098? Okay, I'm not sure what's wrong with our connection with him there. But nonetheless, we'll be back after this brief break.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, How is Urban America Shifting? And to whose benefit? This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallace, on with us, and caller from 8112 and 1098 has joined us as well. Feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We'd love to hear your question or comment and add to our dialogue, our discussion. For sure, we're in a predicament where we got some work to do. And at the end of the day, there are two people I would say are responsible for your plight. Certainly those who you give consent through your vote to represent you in government. But then you're responsible for making sure that the right one is representing you. Okay? If you fail on either one of those fronts, you could have made a mistake the first time and put the wrong folk in. But don't make that mistake again. Be aware. Ask questions and probe them, because what we don't need is any more professional politicians to run any more game. But we need what you see behind me change in the manner in which we do business. Let me just briefly give a Facebook shout out to a few people here. Miss Ross, Miss McDowell, Mr. Robinson, St. Eli, Miss Jordan, Clark Prince. Robinson, thank you for joining us tonight here on Facebook Live. Cabo Cummings, I believe it is. Delisa, Denise Brown, thank you. Robert Taylor and Vera Finley. Feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We got about 28 minutes left, and we appreciate you looking at us. If you're paying attention to us, I hope my fat head is not disturbing your eyes too bad. But we're grateful for all everybody's participation. My good friend out of Peoria, Illinois, has called in and joined us again. Always warms my heart. Amen. Amen. Pastor Waller, let me pose this question to you guys, because I'm trying to understand. That's all right, ain't it?
Yes,
is it all right if I understand? 8112.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. 8112. You think about this one too, and you let me know what you think about it. What power, voice, or influence does the average, the everyday American citizen have to change what's going on in their life, in their neighborhood, in their city, and around them? What power do you have?
Oh, wow. That's a hard question. The power that I think I have is I can make choices and decisions
on
a whole lot of things that consist within my life. Now, whether I choose to or not is a horse of a different color. But, however, there are some things you want to have the power on and you don't know how to go about getting it.
I see. Okay.
And if you don't know how to go about getting it, how can you utilize it? I think it's a very controversial situation, and as a lot of people speak about, well, if you woulda, and if you shoulda, and if you coulda, but in reality of it all, you may just not know how.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, let me pose it this way. Pastor, I'm coming to you. Let me pose it to you this
all
way,
right.
8112. What's your favorite tip? Do you have a favorite potato chip or something like that?
Well, you know, I don't eat a whole lot
of chips. I ain't no trick question. I ain't trying to put you on the spot or nothing like that.
I know some of y'all don't eat pork, but I like a few pork rinds myself.
Oh, pork rinds. Okay, okay.
Chips every now and then. I like corn chips every now and then. I have variety.
Okay, pork rinds. Let's go with pork rinds. Let's go with pork rinds.
What about?
Your money, right? And I tell you, I'm going to buy your pork rinds for you. I come back with some Doritos that are stale. You gave me a whole dollar. I got a whole dollar of yours now. And all I paid was 10 cents for those stale Doritos. And I tell you, here, you take this because I bought it for you. What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with
I'm
that picture?
I'm going to be very unappreciative. First of all, I didn't ask for no Doritos. And if you can't give me what I want, a lot of times I'm stubborn. And if I don't get what I want on certain things, because I don't ask for a whole lot, then I don't want it.
But I went to the store for you, though. I went to the store for you.
Almost, because I don't care. If you didn't have it, keep your money in your pocket.
Wow. Okay, okay.
That's how
Pastor, help me out, man.
Well, I think she's on top of the game, man. She don't want to sell for anything less than what she was expecting to come back, especially if they had it. If you just do something that you want to do, that's not going to the store to take care of what business that you were supposed to take care of.
Hmm.
Now, with understanding, when it comes down to if that's all they had, you had to get something. You wasn't told that if they didn't have that, I don't know if you made it known that they did have what she asked for, but you just decided to bring her something different. Now, if that's what the politicians are doing, then, you know, you're expecting you're doing something different. I don't know of what flavor it is or what kind it is, but, you know, if they're not doing what it is that they was talking about from the start, I think that's basically where you are. You know, you're saying that you're going to back up what they was talking about, the things that they was going to see about, things that they was going to bring into the conversation, if you will. And that conversation never came up.
Well,
I mean,
how to word it better than me.
You know,
good job.
Yes.
I was trying to say that, but I don't know how to say all that.
Yeah, you did good. You did good. You didn't know anything. You know, you won't be here.
Y'all tag teaming on me. Y'all tag teaming. Let me bring Professor Robinson in.
No, Pastor,
he just joined the conversation. All right, hold on. 1 second. Professor, how you doing this evening, sir?
I am doing great. How are you? How's everyone doing?
Great.
All right.
Great.
All right. How are you doing? All right. All right, Professor.
What say you, Professor? Have you been able to keep up with our line of dialogue here? What say you?
I heard bits and pieces, and I was actually at dinner with my son for his birthday, and so I wasn't able to hear everything. So I just listen and comment where appropriate.
All right. So I just asked them a question. I just posed them the question about what sort of power does the average citizen have to change their social economic outcomes? And I know you've talked about this. You've mentioned this on several occasions, different ways. But what is it that you, the individual, has to hold those who are supposed to represent their interests accountable? Professor, you care to take a stab at that for us?
There are individuals who understand the process, and they are bosses, so they hold politicians and other leaders accountable. And they realize that they have the power, either it's monetary or the ability to, you know, create a coalition of voters that will show up and vote a certain way. And so we all have the same power. It's do we realize it, and then how do we exercise that power? And so that power isn't reserved for X group of individuals, and we've seen this over time. It really comes down to understanding the roles that we play and holding and realizing, you know, we have a thing that we are the bosses, our employees.
Mm. Mm.
They are our employees. And
they who,
let's treat, excuse me?
They who, sir?
He's talking about elected
the politicians.
They get elected, sure they do, because they got some money backing them up. But we supposed to be talking about the people that vote for them and also
that's what he's talking
counting
about.
Them and relying them to do the things that they speak about, and most of it does not happen.
Okay. Did you hear what he said, though, 8112?
No, sir.
Go ahead,
I
Professor.
Heard of it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
right, go ahead, Professor.
If I could ask 8112, when they don't do these things, so they promise you that they're going to do whatever, and when they don't do those things, what do you do?
Mm. I still get up. Whenever it's election time, I put my shoes on and my clothes, and I go vote. For the best
for who and what?
Qualified. For the best person I think is qualified.
Hmm.
I'm a Democrat.
Ahead, have you voted?
Have you voted
for people who...
Since I turned 18 years old. I am
50. Right. He had a question for you, 8112.
Yeah,
ahead,
my question is, do you... Well, if someone promised you that they were going to do certain things, you voted for them, they didn't do it, did you vote for them again?
No. However, my point is, when they're bringing it to the table like that, you go out and vote for that person, the next person sometimes, it happens very often, promise you something similar or the same thing, and they ain't just promising me anything. Because as the doctor said on the song, they promise you a whole lot of things. Once they get in election, they do the hell they want. Y'all, ooh, pastors, y'all, please excuse my mouth. They do what they do. It's about money, politics, and everybody don't understand neither one of them.
But
they don't do what they want to do. They do what people who are holding them accountable tell them to do.
Yes, sir, but what do little people know about that? They're bigger than
us. Hold on one second. Go ahead, Professor.
And there are different ways that people can exercise their power. Some of it is through wealth. Other ways is through... getting similarly, like-minded individuals together and demanding that the politicians do what you tell them to do, not what they promise you that they're going to do, but what you tell them to do. And so it is very, very, very possible, and it does happen, and it happens quite often, where people come together and say, this is what you're going to do. We elected you. That's what they respond to people. And not just the rich people.
And then they throw it up in front
together.
Of Congress. Congress throw it in front of the legislature. And then the president don't get involved most of the time unless absolutely necessary. What do the little people say?
8112. Hold on, Professor.
Explain to me, because y'all had to break something down for me.
Let me fix it this way, 8112.
All right.
Let's say you have a population of 3,000 people, and those 3,000 people are going to choose a mayor to represent them. Okay? Now, in that area, you have 100 businesses, and some businesses are more wealthy than the others, right?
Yes, sir.
The power lies not necessarily in the money or the economic strength of the business as it does in the 3,000 voters. Now, when at least 51% of those 3,000 voters are organized and they determine what they expect from anyone to be their mayor, they can control who's elected and who stays in there. And if they don't do as they're expected to, that power strength of the people being organized can change that. Here's the problem.
So what happens when same 3,000 people that you are speaking upon, Pastor, they all go out and vote and they listen attentively, and then it turns around that their votes have been altered. I believe this happened not long ago. Altered, turned into something else that was not supposed to go through.
Okay, so here's what happened. Here's what's happening. There's what's known as a ballot record by law. There has to be some sort of record of who voted on the day of election or even during early voting, okay? They have to go back in. The election commission goes back in, pull that record, whether it's electronic or by paper ballot, and they can verify everybody that registered that came out to vote. When you go in, you're supposed to sign your name and identify yourself. That's the whole process place to verify how many people and who it was that voted. So that's what happened in that case. But most of the times what happened is people who are affected by leadership don't vote. So they complain. And after the fact, they have to deal with it for a period of years. And most of the time, because they're going to stay at home anyway, those who won't to have influence on that affected elected official, they come out and they vote and they get what they want.
Well,
that's the real issue.
I go do what I do. I come back home and hope it come out positive. If it come out negative, sometimes you got to deal with what you got to deal with.
So if someone came to you and said to you, there was a way you can be more detailed and focused and deliberate about your vote, would you be open to that? I guess that's the question.
Very much so, because I was on top of where I live at. I went to vote in the area, the vicinity that I live in. No one, and they're there to help you if you don't exactly know how to run the machine. They can't tell you what to do, but they can instruct you how to do it. I went back to the hood of the thing, helped somebody else, and they both went straight through. That's my point.
Okay. All right. What I'm saying to you is, and this is what Professor's saying, it's about voter organization. I have three principles relative to electoral process. That's voter education, being aware of what the issues are and what's important and how to take advantage of certain things. Then voter organization. In other words, have an agenda. If you don't have an agenda, you own somebody else's agenda. Okay? Yeah. So organize yourself with your neighbors and have an agenda that you will effectuate collectively through your vote. Then you go participate. But what we hear a lot of time is, come out and vote, come out and vote. Vote for who and vote for what. Most of them get the poll and don't have a clue as to who they're voting for.
Well,
so they fall under that trap, Pastor Waller. They fall under that trap and just go along with the most popular sounding name.
No,
or
I didn't.
Somebody else
I knew who I was voting for. I knew who
well,
I was voting
We're not talking about you right now. We're talking about
the vast majority
of people in certain voting precincts, particularly those that have the highest rates of school dropout, crime, health disparities, as well as economic disparities. That's who we're talking about right now. And what we're saying is there's a way they can empower themselves to turn that around. They got the power if they use the knowledge. What about that, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, you're talking about the power of a person who put one into office. That I want to go back to what I heard earlier about that. I was listening, and it says that the person who did the voting has the power, you know, are the boss of the person that has been elected. Now, if that was the case, wouldn't they do what the people ask of them? When they say they confess, and the people are the ones who put them in there.
Right. So hold it right there, Pastor. What professional politicians have learned to do is to analyze the voting data to find out who actually voted. They reach out to those people and they tell them what they want to hear. Now, it could be that that's only a certain amount. Tennessee in particular is a state that has a very low voter turnout, right? And so they're going to go to the people that regularly vote, give them what they think they want to hear, and they really don't care about the other folks that don't vote because they don't matter anyway. You see what I mean? That's part of the trap.
Yeah, you say they don't matter, so I see now. Okay. So they don't have the power.
They do have the power. They just don't use it, so they don't matter.
Yeah, okay, I see. It's just like not having power.
I don't see, because I think people – and I'm sorry, Professor Wallace, to interrupt you like that.
You're all right.
I think the people should have the power. Whether
they
vote or not, they can be encouraged and not discouraged. By telling them they vote don't mean nothing because they don't get out there, they may have be opinionated about that. Instead of telling them, yes, I need you to go vote. Your power, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., fought for you to have this right.
Okay.
Other activists fought for you to have this right. Yeah, it does matter.
Okay. All right, hold on. Let me, Professor Waller, Professor Robinson, I'm going to say something. Go ahead, Professor.
If I could just jump in for a second, your votes matter. The key is, are you holding the politicians accountable? You are the boss. We are the bosses. They work for us. And the things that they do, they're doing at the direction of somebody. They're doing at the direction of some group that's telling them what to do. They just don't go there and say, oh, let me just do whatever. They have people that go visit them on a regular basis, lobbyists, and they say, here's what's important. Here are the people who are voting, and this is what's important to the people that voted for you. And this is what the people are saying that they want you to do. And those people, when they hold them, those politicians accountable, if you look at, you know, this seniors as an example, they vote at a higher rate than just about anybody else. And so Social Security is known as the third rail, as an example. It isn't because people like old folks. It's just that they vote en masse, and if you mess with Social Security, they're going to vote you out of office. That's what I mean by holding people accountable. And they are the boss in that situation because they will vote you out if you mess with Social Security. That's
Absolutely.
An example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So 8112, I think we're saying the same thing. It's not the case that they're not important, but if you lay down and don't act on what you have, you diminish your importance yourself. And all we're saying is I'm admonishing and encouraging people to be astute, to be aware, and to act on the strength that you do have. But it does take you to be organized. With other people of like mind, as he was saying, specifically senior citizens. There you go. There you go. Man, look at the time. We got 8 minutes here. My goodness. Pastor, what are you doing with the clock, man?
Not again. Yeah, must
yeah.
be.
let me do this. Let me wrap it up with this. I want to emphasize the fact that there are a lot of good people, 8112, who don't know. And just because you don't know does not mean you can't become a victim to whatever's coming. That makes sense, 8112?
Yes, sir.
So what fed heads like me should and could do is to make people aware. Not in a way that put them down or try to make them feel bad or low, but let them know that, listen, you got yourself a problem on your hand, and here's how you can go about solving it. And that's really where it is. What I've observed is that politicians, again, the game they play is to make sure they go after those who have expressed a particular interest. And they're going to get them first. But oftentimes they're not really concerned about the other folk, the common folk. Who could and don't exercise themselves in a certain way. So something that we ought to look at, something we ought to look at. Before we get out of here, let's wrap it up. We lost 1080 there. I'm not sure what happened there, but you're listening to Talk Straight. We've been talking from the thought, how is urban America shifting and to whose benefit? We discovered that those who are most prepared, those who are educated, and those who are astute, they tend to benefit the most from the economic and social and political shift and ties that come through urban America. All right, so let me do this. 8112, final thought before we get out of here.
Well, I thank you guys for listening to me, and I appreciate the input that you guys have gave me. It's something, once again, for me to think about. You all have a blessed week.
You know I love you like peanut butter love jelly, don't you?
And the fat girls love cake.
All right, Professor, final thought there, sir.
Real quickly, as it relates to voting, I say gain knowledge, understand the issues, ask a lot of questions, vote, but more importantly, hold people accountable. You are the boss. If they're not doing what you want them to, you know, what you want them to do, get rid of them and put people in place who have your best interests at heart and are doing things that lead to more positive outcomes in your life.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, I couldn't say it better. Pastor Waller, what do you say about it? Pastor Wall, are you there?
Yeah, I was saying, Pastor, anytime you're dealing with a new day, a brand new day that God has given us, you know, a day that we never have seen before, and it, to me, I believe that he know more about everything that's going on in this world. And I know that there's a scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, I like the Bible. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So when you put him first, I think it's a lot better than putting him second or third or last, you know. So I like to always say that if I didn't know him, I found out it's much better to put him first. So I believe once we start doing that, I think a lot of things start turning into our favor, man. I just do believe that. So stir up the gifts and learn how to trust more in him and less in yourself. And so that's what I have to do for myself. I start trusting me and start trusting him, and it's a lot better now.
Yeah. I appreciate that. The text said in our opening monologue that we won't be no more like children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind, idea, thought, by the sleight of men.
Yes.
And they can't deceive us no more. But you open your eyes, you can't be led down those paths to destruction. So we appreciate it again. This has been Talk Straight. You've been listening to the conversation about how is urban America shifting and to whose benefit. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. www.bfcinstitute.com is where you can go learn more about what we're doing. We endeavor to be back Thursday, and we appreciate everybody that has joined us. But we will we'll strive to bring another episode Thursday night at 7:00 p.m. And we wish that you join us. Thank you, 8112. Appreciate
You're welcome,
your kind words and your participation tonight. I certainly grew from them.
Thank you. Pastor and everybody
Wallace,
have a good night. I love you all.
Yes, ma'am.
Love you
yes,
as well.
Ma'am. You do the same. And with that, we're going to sign off and see you Thursday night at 7 o'clock for another episode of Talk Straight.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I's still going, honey. I's still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.